Praise the Lord. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, and we just shared the heart of that. I'm so glad and thankful for Dr. Phil Brassfield and how he enlightened us to the truth that this didn't happen in some obscure upper room. Last week we taught about it, that it happened in the house. And they use that word, the house, for the temple of the Lord. I believe Victoria called it the house today. Amen. So it happened in the house for a reason and a purpose. We emphasized last week that the where answers the why. And I want you to see it. I hope the church, because we're a big picture kind of preacher, we like to see the whole plan of God. You know, one of our first messages we preach to pastors over there is God's grand plan. We also call it the big picture. And we like to see. So it's like Pentecost was like the culmination of God's plan for redemption, where the Spirit of the living God now dwells inside of mankind to empower man to go out to get the rest of the harvest in. So it was always God's heart. This was always God's plan from before creation, that he would have a people called his own from every nation and every tongue of the world that would come to him through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, being born again into his family and having his Spirit dwell inside of us. So the Holy Spirit was never meant to divide the church into denominations, or to divide the church over, you know, emphasizing this gift over that gift. Or no. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God brings unity to the body of Christ. The Spirit of God is love. God is love. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He dwells within us. It's God living in us, flowing through us. Just real clear, and I've been emphasizing this for a while now so we can see the picture of this. You know, God wanted us while we were yet sinners. He loved us, and he always had a way to redeem us back to himself. He foretold it in the Old Testament. He showed us by the book of the law. He showed us by the whole history of the Old Testament that mankind had the nature of sin. But praise God, he sent his only son. Praise God that Jesus Christ could bear the burden of our sin, that we could be born again into his family. And what I've been emphasizing is when we're born again, Jesus washes our sin away completely so that he could fill us. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't the purpose of it is not to cause us to be in one denomination who speaks in tongues or away from the other denominations who haven't heard of it or don't. No. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, is being saved. The Spirit God lives in us now, and all the giftings and the power of the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. And as we grow in the knowledge of that truth, we can walk in it. You can't walk in what you don't know. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is leading his body, the church, into all the truth of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit always points us to our Savior Christ and empowers us to have Christ formed in us. Church, you are destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. The seed you swallowed, the Word of God, is going to produce its kind. Amen? God created everything with its seed in itself to reproduce itself. The oak tree reproduces oak trees. The apple tree reproduces apple trees. Each kind of species God created reproduces itself. And the Word of God, the seed planted in the earth, hallelujah. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces nothing. He was planted in this earth, died, rose again, hallelujah. And those of us who have received him, we have him growing in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You're destined to be conformed to the very image of Christ himself. We're growing in it. We're growing in his grace. We're growing in his knowledge. And I want to say this. Around the world, the church is more like Christ today than ever in the history of the world. We sometimes think, and I hear people criticize the church, always speaking about the negative of this church, that church, the other, you know, the negative about, oh, you know, the kids of the church are falling away, the church is this. No. Buddy, I'm careful about writing something or speaking something against the body of Christ, because I'm talking about Jesus's church. I'm talking about his body, his bride. Don't want to hear you speaking something against my bride, but you shouldn't be speaking something against the bride of Christ, which is the church. Amen? The church is the body. He gave his life in his plan. I hear people being critical of the body of Christ and the church, and they're saying, like, wow, like you're saying Jesus didn't do good enough to make the church right? What Jesus did wasn't enough to empower the church to be glorious? I'm telling you, church, what he did was powerful enough to cleanse you completely so that he could fill you completely, so that we can walk in unity and love, and we can grow in his grace, and we can get this word out to the ends of the earth. It's happening. It's working. Colossians says this, all over the world, this gospel is growing in grace and truth. Since you've heard it and understand its fullness, it's been growing all over the world for 2,000 years now. We're seeing it multiply. We're seeing it grow in nations, in this nation and other. I'm telling you, it's not a small thing. It's the mighty body of Christ where Jesus came. He poured himself out into those 12 disciples and the people he ministered. And then he told them, there's something big coming. Wait for the promise of the Father that's been prophesied for all these years. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered in one place, people from every nation. And God chose, preordained that time to fulfill the Feast of Weeks when they were gathering, many of them celebrating when the law came. Now in the fulfillment, the Spirit comes. And the Spirit comes and empowers the body. Hallelujah. Peter got up and began to preach. These people aren't drunk as you suppose. But then he began to preach. This Jesus, whom y'all all have been hearing about, for it's big talk all around Jerusalem and the nations. Everybody's been talking, you know, hey, he's the one crucified. He's the one the religious leaders at the temple and the synagogues were against. He's the one, you know, that Herod and Pilate got together with the religious leaders, put him on the cross. You heard about this. You heard about the earthquake. That was 50 days before, when the sky grew dark all over the world, and it grew dark at that time. He was hanging on the cross. You saw that, you heard about the temple shaking and the veil being rent, torn in two. Everybody was hearing and talking about this. And now they're gathered at the temple, and Peter gets up and boldly proclaims, this same Jesus whom you crucified is now Lord of all, and it's only through him can you have the remission of sins. Wow. Now think about what a bold statement that is for this man. Peter, James, John, all of them, they had all left him. It was, matter of fact, it was only the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, standing at the foot of the cross. When he died, the rest of them were scattered. Amen? Why was John there? He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He knew the love of Christ so much, he trusted him. That's what it's about, knowing his love. All the rest had scattered. Peter had denied him. They saw the Romans come with torches. They saw the mob of the Jews and the leaders. They saw him being crucified. Now, people are saying, hey, weren't you one of them? Weren't you a Galilean like them? So now they've run. Jesus comes and appears to them. It strengthens them, wow, but they still don't fully understand the commission. They still don't quite get it. Peter at one time says, well, I'm going fishing. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to meet you back in Galilee. They travel from Jerusalem to the north. They go back to where they were called in Galilee. And there Peter's fishing with them, and they see Jesus on the side of the lake. They don't know who he is. There's a fire going. And man, Peter finally realized, he jumps out of the boat, swims over to him, and Jesus ministers to them. He says, Peter, do you love me? You know me, Lord. You know my ins and outs. You called me, you know, and I wasn't worthy. You know that I called myself a sinner. You know that I denied you. You know everything. He said, feed my sheep. Jesus never brought up his sin or his fault. Why did you deny me? Why did you leave me? Why did you fall? Why did you run? Where was your faith? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. He restores Peter. Remember, I called you that you're going to be a fisher of men, and I haven't turned on my calling. Praise the Lord. The gifts and callings he's put in your life are without repentance. God doesn't repent of calling you. He knows your struggles. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your faults or failures. But praise the Lord, he knows that he, with him inside of you, he can overcome it all. So he restores Peter. Now he says, look, guys, I'm sending you, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Authority over this Roman Empire that you're under the bondage to, authority over all these governments, those religious leaders that are trying to, you know, put you guys out of the synagogue there. The authority given to me is over them. The authority over the devil, the authority over Satan and all of his powers have been given to me. And I'm giving it to you and sending you out all over the world. But again, as we emphasized last week, he said, don't go yet. Wait till you be endued with the power from on high. The promise of the Father that's been prophesied is coming to you. Go back to Jerusalem. Now I want you to stop and think about this. They watched Jesus ascend. Now they got a choice. James, Peter, what should we do? He really wants us to go back there? Aren't they waiting to arrest us? Didn't they identify us with him? Are they going to crucify us too? He says, wait for the promise, and he's sending us out. Does he realize that they might arrest us? Does he realize they might crucify us? What should we do? And I can imagine them on that trek, about a 3 or 4 days journey walk from Galilee, coming all the way back, going ascending to the mountain in Jerusalem. A hard walk. Through mountains and hills and tough terrain going up. We've made that route before on an air-conditioned bus, okay? We just looked at the desert on both sides. We imagine them walking through there, coming back thinking, I could be arrested. What's he saying? Wait for the promise. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How? We're going to have to hide. Hey, praise the Lord. It's a good thing. It's the Feast of Weeks. They're coming. Maybe we'll just mingle with the crowd and they won't recognize us because there'll be hundreds of thousands of people there. And they come in, obeying the Lord, having courage to overcome all their fears. And there they are at the time. They're staying in the room where they've always stayed. But at the time of the feast, they're gathered in the house. Praise God. We read the Torah is read. They're reciting about the giving of the law of Moses. They're singing the songs. They're playing the instruments. People have gathered from all around. And these Galileans are all together. And the people from the different nations are all together. And here they are praying, being ready, and don't know what's going to happen. And there came suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house. Praise the Lord. The place was shaken together. It was the outpouring of the Spirit because God's will was not just to save one group of people, the Israelites. God's will was to open it up, salvation, to the ends of the earth. Here was the beginning of this move that you're in. The church age, the beginning of this time where the Spirit of the Lord would be poured out upon whosoever believed, that we could be cleansed from our sin so that we could be filled with his Spirit and God could dwell in us and flow out of us. Praise the Lord. Is everybody with me? I'm just summing up the story before I get into some of the scriptures today to put us all on the same page that you can see the big picture. This was the greatest beginning of the greatest movement in the history of mankind. The church that was afraid and scattered, now filled with power. And this same Peter who had ran, now he's standing up in that temple in front of the religious leaders, in front of the Roman leaders, in front of all the guards. He's preaching the gospel that this Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Savior of the world. And they believed and they asked, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you also shall receive the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, repent of the past way of doing things, of believing things. Repent and believe, hey, some of you crucified Jesus. Some of you were against him. Some of you didn't recognize him as Messiah. Turn from that and see him as your only hope, your Lord and your Savior. Receive him, and you also shall receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. 3,000 of them believed, and 3,000 of them received the Spirit of God living in them at the same time. Amen? Amen. They believed. Now they're cleansed by their faith. They follow that up in water baptism because there was mitzvahs, baptismal pools all around where they did ritual cleansing to come in the temple. They go there, they're baptized, they're saved, and now the Spirit of the living God lives in them. Mostly these are Jews from all around the world, but you know, with all the talk going on, there was Gentiles there too, and now they take this, many of them, decided, wow, we've met the Messiah. We've seen these miracles. Some of them decided to stick around for a while. Some of them had, you know, went back home to their different nations, and guess what they did with it? They carried the message. The church started with a bang, man. The church started with a wow, which is, you know, a violent explosion of interrupting the norm of regular religion and God invading, praise the Lord, the space of mankind now, filling us with his presence that we might carry this word to the ends of the earth. And it's been working ever since. And you and I are a part of it. Amen. Go with me. Let's look at a few scriptures I have for y'all today. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 14. And this is a prayer that Paul is praying by the Holy Spirit for the church at Ephesus. And he's also praying it for us. And I want to pray it for us as your pastor in behalf of this congregation. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I kneel before the Father. So I'm going to kneel on behalf of all of us, as Paul did for Ephesus. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, each of us, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints around the earth to grasp how wide and long and how and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations. Amen. Amen. Pray this prayer. Think about the content of his prayer. He's praying as I prayed for us together as a body. Praise the Lord. That his glorious riches, his strength and the power by his Spirit in our inner being. Remember, John 7:38 says, he who believes in me, out of his belly, his inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. That's why we call this the river of life. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit in that book of John, which says specifically, which was not yet given, but which shall be given, speaking of the day of Pentecost that came a little later when the Holy Spirit was given. Now, those of us who believe, we have this river of living water in our inner being that rises up and flows out to everyone else. And wherever the river flows, everything shall live. So he's praying for us. And notice his prayer is about the Spirit being in fullness. It's not about, he doesn't specifically, and I pray that, you know, that they all speak in tongues when they receive the Spirit as evidence of them getting that. No, he prays that we would understand the love of God. You see? He prays that being filled with the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit can show us what? Verse 18, may have power together with the saints. Why? To grasp how long and deep and high the love of Christ, and to know that love surpasses knowledge, and to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit is going to show us more and more of Christ and his love, and cause you, the church, to be rooted and grounded securely in him, with the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So as we grow, church, in the Spirit of God, we grow in the knowledge of Christ and who he is in us. And I just want to tell you, praise the Lord, we're going to talk about the giftings and the power of the Spirit too. But I want to tell you, it's not the focus on that. It's the focus is on Christ. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit leads us to know Christ in his fullness and to start to understand that we are in him and he is in us and we are one in him. Isn't that beautiful? Everybody okay? Ephesians chapter 4 says this, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is humble and gentle. Amen. He doesn't drive you. He leads you. Won't force you, but just gently leads us. Amen. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Look at verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in us all. Praise the Lord. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. So there's one Spirit, one faith, we're called together in one body, but praise God, there's also different giftings and manifestation of this Spirit's power in us that together, hallelujah, we're complete in him. Are you with me? So he begins to explain. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Look at verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we talk about this as being the five-fold ministry, different offices and specific callings to the body of Christ. What's the purpose of that? It's love to build the body of Christ up by the Holy Spirit in the fullness of Jesus. So for the body of Christ to grow up in love, he gave the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Why? So it can all, by the Spirit, point to Christ and grow us up to maturity. Are you with me? Glory to God. He goes on to say, why? Verse 12, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. Everybody say built up. Everybody say all. See, his desire is by this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For now the Holy Spirit in us, with different giftings in the body, as used for his glory and love, to bring the body up in fullness and maturity in Christ. Church, I recognize by the same Spirit in me that this is happening right here at the river, and it's happening all over the world. I testify here in the name of Jesus. I've seen it with my own eyes, hear it with my own ears. What Christ said in the Word is happening. The body of Christ is growing stronger in the knowledge of the truth, growing stronger by the Holy Spirit, producing Christ in his church. And from what I see around the world, the church looks more like Christ today than ever before in history. We're growing in unity. We're growing in strength. We're growing in power. Praise the Lord. We're growing. The Holy Spirit is building us up through the different ministries and giftings that Jesus gave to his church by the Spirit. Glory to God. Till we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is real. That is happening. We don't just want to read over the Word. We want to take it, look at it, meditate on it, prophesy it, proclaim it, speak it. Praise the Lord. Speak the life of what's happening, what the Word says about the body around the world, instead of what the news says and what others says. I want to say what Christ says about his church, and we see it come to pass by believing it and speaking it and proclaiming it. That's why I'm proclaiming it today. It's an assignment by God, by the Holy Spirit, to build up the body into him by the truth of what he's saying. Glory to God. Then, as we're doing this, verse 14 says, we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind or teaching or the cunningness of craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Hey, that won't affect us, the body of Christ, anymore. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him. We're destined to be conformed to the image of Christ who is in you. By the knowledge and truth of the Word, we're growing up into him, praise the Lord, who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Church, I'm happy to be a part of a local body where there's different giftings and callings in the children's church and the youth and teaching and prophesying and playing the music and proclaiming the Word and building the kingdom. And hey, I praise God. God sent us an air-conditioned man right when we need it. He sends us builders. He sends us people who are willing to drive the van, people who are willing to sow to go to the nations. People. He brings the body together in all the different gifts. And together, we're one body working for his glory and growing up. And praise the Lord, it's happening right here. And it's happening all over the world. Amen. By proclaiming it and speaking his Word, we understand more and we grow together in this maturity of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 5. Excuse me, I'm going to go back to chapter 4, starting in verse 22. Verse 22, chapter 4. You were taught in regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. Verse 23, to do what? And to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Our spirit born again, we're being renewed and made new by renewing our minds to the truth of what the Spirit is teaching us. In the attitude of minds, verse 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's God you have received living in you, and the Spirit of God in you is completely righteous and holy. And we, the saints of God, are led by the Spirit of God who is in us. Amen? So what's in us as we grow in maturity works itself out into our life of how we speak, how we treat our wives, how we raise our children, how we have an attitude toward our boss at work. It comes out in us in every way, what's in us. Amen? We grow up in the maturity of it, renewing our mind to the truth of the Spirit, and our life becomes a witness effective by the power of the Holy Spirit to be an effective witness that Jesus is living in us, because it comes out in how we live. Amen? Praise the Lord. It goes on, chapter 5, verse 15. Chapter 5. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 16, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I spoke this verse last week. Be filled, a continuation. We're filled by the Spirit and we flow out. The river comes in. It flows out to others. It keeps on coming. It's a constant river flowing, the river of life of God. We're plugged into the source of that life. It's like that beautiful crystal clear spring well rising up and flowing out into a river. We're connected to that well of life. The Spirit of the living God of the universe dwells in us, flows out of us and into us constantly. Are you with me? So we're filled and we continue being filled and continue releasing what we have. He that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man, sometimes we're giving it out in such a way, man, so just take a little break. Lord, fill me again. I need a little time. Get alone to myself. Go to the Word. Be strengthened. Lord, we've been walking this holy life of you in us in this dusty fallen world. Had a rough day, rough week at work with dealing with a lot of people of the world, a lot of things, different things happen. I'm filled. I'm given out. Praise God. Now I need to be renewed in you. I'm going to take my mind. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn off some things. I'm going to look at your Word. I'm going to come to church Sunday, Wednesday. I'm going to be filled. I'm going to get with the people of God. I'm going to be around. I'm going to be refreshed. Hallelujah. That I can go back into a lost and dying world and be filled, that it might flow out of me again and again and again. Are you with me? Hey, you go off for a few weeks at a time, right? Don't you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It's a jungle out there, right? Praise the Lord. We need to continue being filled with His Spirit. Man, I'm encouraged as we were today, as I hear Victoria get up and encourage us and we start praising the Lord. I'm encouraged by the people sitting next to me. We're being lifted up. We're in the presence of God, filling us, being renewed, that we might carry it out again. If ever we get knocked back or shaken or stumble out there, praise God, that life of Christ is still in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, will never leave us or forsake us, and can be renewed to built up so it can flow out again the next day. You have a struggle with your home, family, with your job, whatever you're going on. Man, we come, we get renewed, we get refreshed, and we're ready to love like Christ's love again. Yes. To demonstrate who He is in us. Amen. Are you with me? God is so good. Praise the Lord. Yes. Now, he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. And verse 27, and to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Wow. Church, when Jesus returns for his church, we're going to be radiant and shining glorious, without spot, without wrinkle. We're headed that way now. That glory is in you already, and it's coming out. Watch this. So if Jesus is coming for his radiant, glorious church, his word is washing us daily. We're growing up into Him. How is that happening? It's happening right now as I'm speaking it. You're hearing it, you're believing it, and by faith you're growing in it. Amen? We grow in it by the Word. When I'm telling you, praise the Lord, that Christ is being formed in his church, that his church is growing in the knowledge of him, it's happening because I am proclaiming what the Bible says, what the word, and that word is true. He's coming back. So I'm telling you, we're going from glory to glory. We're being renewed in our mind. The body of Christ is coming together. And the unity now, what we preached today and what we preached Sunday on the Pentecost, you know, Satan tried to twist that for a number of years and get the body of Christ, even locally, right here. Let's see. Checking to see if that clock's, yeah, that clock's still fast, okay. Somebody fix that this week, okay? I keep forgetting. Yeah, don't look at that clock, it's fast, okay? 8 minutes fast, trust me. All right. So Satan, let's just level with you. Let's just talk, be up front, you know. For years, Satan got into this and twisted it and divided the body in certain sections of the country. There's different divisions of different denominations. Here in the South, there's a lot of division in the church between black and white, right where we live, and Pentecostal and Baptist. Am I speaking to anybody in the room? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's not why the Holy Spirit was given.
Amen.
To divide the body. And a lot of the division was caused by really some different interpretations of what it is to be filled with the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. And some emphasized so much because they read the verses where sometimes if you read through Acts, there's different scenarios of how and when the Spirit was given. Well, first of all, oh, and Tyler did a great job on this Wednesday night. I'm going to use some of his quotes he did. He taught it on the Spirit. So we're following up. We're continuing in this. Hey, you get some on Sunday, but you want to keep growing in it. Sometimes we go Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday. You can come then too. Amen? So there's been a division there thinking that because in the book of Acts, in this incidence, you know, they heard about the Spirit's power and they received the Spirit and began to speak in tongues and prophesy right then and there, right away, that some denominations have made a doctrine of that where they think that's the way it's got to happen every time. And so they get a lot of folks, a lot of Christians, maybe you grew up in it, feeling uncomfortable, you know, to go to the front, because when they're at the front, I'll use this young radical guy here, you know. You got people shouting in their ear, you know, and they're trying to get them to pray in tongues because they believe if they don't pray in tongues, they don't have the Spirit. So they're not saved. And some are shouting, you know, let it go, let it go. And every sudden, you know, hang on, hang on, and do this, do that. And finally, somebody mumbles a few words just because they want to sit down. You can. Come on now, I want to hit home with this. Because this is a real deal. I care about the body of Christ. And I'm preaching truth and love. And then, because some denominations have made a whole doctrine mainly about tongues and the manifestation of the power of the Spirit, about healing, and some people, we are emotional, have gotten emotional, and it's more about the manifestation at the altar, whether they're going to shake, shout, spit, roll around, run, or speak in tongues, which I don't have a problem with any of that. I pray in tongues daily, daily for you, for what God's birthing in us. But then another denomination went the other way and said, hey, we're not having all that in our church. Let's don't talk about tongues ever. Let's don't talk about the manifestation of the Spirit. And even came up with doctrines 50, 60 years ago that the manifestation of the power of God in healing and in tongues, interpretation of tongues and these gifts has ceased and doesn't happen anymore. It got that bad. They actually preached and taught that this was of the devil and the Holy Spirit doesn't heal anymore like he did back then. And the Holy Spirit doesn't do these things because they misinterpreted this line, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part with shall be done away with. And that which is perfect, when the Bible was fully put together, now we had the perfect word of God, so we didn't need the manifestation of the power. Well, they misinterpreted the verse. When that which is perfect is come, when Jesus Christ returns, praise the Lord, we will be with him forever. We won't need the different discernment of spirit or speaking a word. We'll be with him, like him, forever when he returns. But church, now, in this day and age, with this falling away in the world, we need the giftings and the power of the Spirit present to minister in love to each and every one. I'll be witnessing to somebody. They'll be telling me their story. They'll be asking what to do. And the Holy Spirit, because I only want to, hey, my life is given to Christ. I don't want to say anything or do anything that's not him. Jesus, you speak in this council session, and not me, but you. And the Holy Spirit will discern what this person needs and what word they have to have and say, yes, the Lord says, praise the Lord, turn from this and do that. Here's what to do with your wife. Here's what to do in that court case. He'll give us a word of knowledge and wisdom of how to handle a situation for that people out of love. It's not necessarily, thank you. It's not, wasn't created just for a show of emotion at the altar. It was created for each of us to equip you with the knowledge of the word of God, that you on your job can give a word to someone who needs it by the Spirit, that you on your job can demonstrate the love of God, that you can minister this life to your family. And praise the Lord, there's various giftings, and they're all of the Holy Spirit, and they work together in unity and in order. And praise the Lord, I believe the body of Christ is growing in the maturity of this around the world. It doesn't have to. There's different ways the Spirit, I believe, as Tyler shared Wednesday night. Let's look at this, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I believe this is a word for the body of Christ now. So many non-denominational spirit-led churches. Praise the Lord, we rarely have to even talk about this anymore because we've grown it up in maturity and understand it better. And it's not a thing anymore. Doesn't have to be. Around here, we're deeply rooted in the division over it. So it has to be, you know, how do you come? I don't believe we grow up in it by ignoring it. We'll say, Pastor, well, you might offend somebody that came out of this or this. No, look, I'm given a word from the Lord to speak the truth in love, because the truth will actually bring people together. Yes. Yes. I'm doing this in love for folks. We ministers to a lot of folks who used to think, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't work today. And now they know better. We used to minister to a lot of folks who used to think that they, you know, the pastor had to say Jesus' name only. And all the folks who were baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they weren't Christians and weren't their brother. The truth set them free from that error. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is leading his whole body into truth. How? By the truth. So it's good to talk about. It's good. And more we're seeing denominations, whole denominations, come to this truth. I go to conferences of pastors where there's hundreds of them from various different denominations. And a lot today, tell you the truth, a lot today, pastors and leaders started moving in these truths. And their congregation came with them. Or their congregation kicked them out. But either way, it's going to happen. Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead his church into all truth. Amen? And it's okay. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. It says here, real clear, verse 9. Tyler brought this out Wednesday. But you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Everyone who's a Christian here, just say this with me. The Spirit of God lives in me. So I'm not controlled by the sinful nature. No, you're not. The Spirit of the Lord in you is far more powerful than any of your past mind, the way you think. Okay. All right. Then it says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So you can't be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit. So let's settle that right now for everyone. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. In Acts, there's different times. At Cornelius' house in Acts 10, they're Gentiles. He's a Roman centurion, excluded from the people of God at that time. But now God's drawing him. Praise the Lord. And Peter goes to preach Christ to his house and all his servants and all his people. And as he's preaching, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And man, some of them started speaking in tongues and prophesying. And the disciples were like shocked. They haven't even converted to Judaism yet, much less from Judaism to Christianity. We thought they'd have to become a Jew, get circumcised, follow the law, and then maybe receive Christ as their Savior. But now the Holy Spirit came on these Gentiles like it did with us. What's up with that? And then Peter says, man, well, let's baptize them. They're your brothers now. And that was shocking for the church of the day. That Gentiles, they weren't even allowed to eat with them or walk with them or talk with them or go in their house. And now the Gentiles are getting saved and filled with the Spirit. So in this case, the Spirit of God came upon them in the way they could see and hear before they ever said yes to an altar call, before they got baptized, before any of that. But man, they recognize these people who have the Holy Spirit, they've got to be saved because they couldn't have the Spirit. So they recognize them as saved. Amen? In other cases, praise the Lord, they heard about John's repentance, repented of their sin, and they did what they knew. Then they heard about Jesus, and they received Christ. Then later, they heard about the Holy Spirit, and they wanted that too. Folks, that's the way it's happened for lots of folks around. Some didn't know about the power of the Holy Spirit, and when they received it, it was like a second experience. Amen? And that's okay. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be that way for the mature, the way it's preached now, that you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, and now we're teaching and preaching, hallelujah, that as you yield your life to, hey, when they preached on Acts and the day of Pentecost, they were saved and filled right there. And that's what we are now, right now. Now, I do encourage you, church, as the Holy Spirit's leading you, that you yield. And the more areas of your life you yield, the more areas of your life you're filled. Are you with me there? And I encourage you also to be open to the different powers and giftings of the Spirit that's already in you. Word of knowledge, praying in the Spirit, interpretation of tongues, laying hands on the sick. All of these things, the Holy Spirit is in you. And as you need in love to minister to others, hey, different giftings can come to you. Some folks get exercise and practical in a way where they're walking good and the Holy Spirit has given them knowledge of a certain gift and they're practicing it and exercising it and it's becoming stronger in their life. And someone else is exercising and practicing this gift. And as the church comes together, praise the Lord, all the gifts are flowing and the body is strong. But each gift is available to you by the Spirit for whatever the need is at the time. Amen? God's not going to deny you when someone's sick or hurting, Clayton, and you want to go to them and pray for that knee or pray for that cancer or pray for whatever. Say, well, hey, that's not your gift. Get somebody else to pray. No, praise the Lord. We all have the giftings of the Spirit and can flow out of God's love. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So, praise God. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to begin. I'm just going to wrap this up for y'all. 2 Peter. Deep in the New Testament, almost to Revelation. Hebrews, James, Peter. I don't want to put God in a box in this doctrine of how to receive the Holy Spirit. If you receive the Holy Spirit in a powerful way after you've been saved for a number of years and that happens to you that way, I'm okay with that. It happened to a lot of folks. If you receive the Holy Spirit as power the day you have saved, I'm good with that. Happened to a lot of folks that way. Praise God. I just know the Holy Spirit is there in each and every Christian and will lead you and guide you to all the truth. Amen? And as you walk in it, you'll grow in it. The Holy Spirit teaches you something. As you walk in it, you'll grow in it. There's lots of Christians who came up believing and heard from the pulpit that healing's not for today, and they didn't walk in it. They lacked the knowledge. But then they heard and started to grow in it and looking up the scriptures. And now, praise the Lord, their kid gets a cold. Before they go spend a lot of money at the doctors, they lay hands on them. Amen? So you can walk in what you know by the knowledge of truth. Some walked in believing and said, well, I always heard all my life that tongues is of the devil. So when? And that's not active in the church today. So they didn't walk in it. Now they're coming to a non-denominational church that we believe, hey, tongues is okay, guys. It's a good thing. And Paul says, I would that you pray in tongues. I would that all of you would pray in tongues. So if he said that by the Spirit. Folks, there's a lot of times I'm praying what's going on in the world and what's going on, family, I'm praying and I'm not sure what else to pray. But I have a desire to keep praying. I pray in the Spirit, in tongues. I pray for you. I pray for this service in the Spirit. I pray for our outreaches in Africa. I prayed for Fresh Start to be birthed in the Spirit long before we saw it in the physical. Amen. I encourage you, the Holy Spirit in you, stir up that gift within you. Pray for your families. Pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding. I encourage you, praise the Lord, to step out in faith when you're hurting, to go to God. Lord God, I believe that by your stripes I'm healed. I take this healing and step out in faith. The Holy Spirit won't force you to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit won't force you to lay your hands on your friend to pray for them. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will lead you and guide you. You know, I think one of the reasons why it got so confused in the church, because some of the seminaries were teaching that it was the ecstasy gifts. Ecstasy, like, you know, something coming over you, and it's a wild, emotional, exuberant thing that takes over your body. And that was taught in error there. The Holy Spirit doesn't take over you. The Holy Spirit leads you. And you have, the prophecy is subject to the prophet. You have the control to speak it or to hold it. You can share your testimony. The Holy Spirit is leading you to share your testimony with a friend. And you can say no. The Holy Spirit is leading you to pray for someone. And you can say no. He won't make you. He'll lead you. But praise God, as the Holy Spirit's stirring you in love and you feel led to start moving in this direction, to go preach in the prison or to drive a van or to encourage somebody or to share your testimony, as you step out in faith and walk in that area, you will grow in that area. Everybody okay? I hope I'm explaining this in a way today to build you up, to help you, not to offend, not to hurt. I'm your pastor. I love you. I've been assigned to teach you all the truth of the word. Okay? And want to share this. And from my experience in 30 years in dealing with churches and things, I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit is showing me that's happening around the whole body. I'm telling you, I'm seeing the church growing up into unity and fullness by this truth. And this truth I'm talking today is part of those lessons to grow up the body of Christ. We don't want churches planted that continue growing in division, and some thinking, well, you know, that church over there aren't really our brothers because they don't believe this. Folks, whether they're Pentecostal, Baptists, whatever denominations, if they believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again, they're my brother. Amen. And I love them. and I love them so much, God's opened the door for different ones around town that I get to speak this, not just to a congregation. I get to talk like this and share this with individuals all the time. Amen. I'm always getting opportunities where different leaders of churches, pastors, people come in, and I sit down and talk to them. It might be somebody coming, you know, work on the carpet or the copy machine, whatever. Man, if they, you know, get in our presence, we're going to talk about the Lord. And we're going to ask them, where do you go to church? And, you know, what do you believe? And I'm going to share my thoughts. And share, you know, it's just something we do, praise the Lord. It's in me. It's like burns, hallelujah. It's got to flow out, hallelujah, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in us, and it comes out. And we share the love of Christ. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm closing praying for you with my eyes open. And I'm going to ask you not to bow your head or close your eyes, just to look at me. See, we do things different by the Holy Spirit, too. Always a church tradition that everybody has to bow their head and close their eyes. Well, that's a reverent form of prayer, kneeling down or laying prostrate. But I sometimes, you know, you pray during the day with our eyes open. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now for each and every person here as we shared the truth. Lord, that we're growing in the knowledge of your truth.